Hello everyone, welcome to our Christmas podcast, Flats and Shanks.
Oh, it's Christmassy, isn't it?
Tommy Shanks.
You got your Christmas roll neck on?
It's not really a roll neck, it's more of a three-quarter zip up top, Hugo Boss, whatever.
Oh, didn't they make uniforms for the Nazis?
Yes.
Proud of yourself?
Yes, he did.
And weirdly, you look like a Aryan. You're sort of exactly what they wanted, aren't you? Whereas I...
Well, I can't see you because you're wearing camouflage.
Whereas I have...
a camouflage top on.
Ancestry that would have seen me in a lot of trouble if Hitler were in power.
Judging by that nose, mate.
Yeah. I have. I've got roots, mate.
But I didn't know who wore camouflage.
Hang on, did you see that story about in the paper about the people who... those? I think they were like neo-Nazis or something, could be wrong, but they named their kid Adolf.
That's a name that's died out, isn't it?
Pair of dicks, yeah. Yeah, camouflage, do you like it?
No.
What do you mean, no?
We've been paintballing. I've just taken a picture. I'm going to post it later for you to see. Seriously, have you been paintballing?
I walked in. I saw a pal this morning and walked in, and I had... all I've got is a pair of jeans, camouflage sweatshirt, which I quite like, and a pair of trainers... and there is a reason why I'm wearing this, but I'll tell you in a minute.
You've been playing professional game of hide and seek?
I'm a weekend soldier, I'm a TA. But I got the shiny black puffer jacket on, and I walked in and someone said, oh yeah, it's Ellis Genge. And I thought, yeah, if I had a clip on gold tooth, I could be the guy.
Does he wear camouflage?
I think he probably wears pretty rascal gears. You see that hoodie he did his interview in last week with the eye patches on it, the goggles on?
No.
I'll wait till you see it.
Oh, is it
naughty? I love that guy. Yeah, it's naughty, mate. It's naughty, mate.
Mate, you're nearly 40 years old. You're not Ellis Genge. You're not.
But I've just got jeans on and a pair of trainers and a sweatshirt. That's all it is.
And a camouflage top.
It's a sweatshirt. I quite like it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I'm 38. We'll percent fat.
When are you 40?
Two years.
February.
I'm 38.
What, are you 39 in February?
January.
Knew it. Should have said it. How have you been?
I'm right, it's you I'm worried about.
I mean, sorry, this is coming to you just a little bit later than usual, but...
I know,
it's diaries.
I've waited diary. Until we actually go live, so to speak, to apologise to you and Michelle about Monday, because I basically had a couple of days shooting with a load of mates, and I booked it in last January on a big all-day we had with a load of mates, and we all booked it in last January, So I couldn't, in the end, I was like, right, I will cancel it because I haven't got time to do the pod because it's all of Monday, all of Tuesday, early start, late finish, and it's miles away in mid Wales. So
was it a live shoot or was it Clay's?
Clay's.
All right. Okay.
It was a live shoot. I'm just trying to sound like a nicer person.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't hit any anyway. I literally don't go for the shooting. I go because I like the slow gin and the big lamb dinners and stuff.
And you love dogs.
Mate, the dogs... drive me crazy. I love those dogs.
And healthy obsession with them.
Those working dogs, the gun dogs, are just amazing. Anyway, but I thought, right, I will actually pull out of the shooting because this pod is always based around my diary half the time because I'm so, not disorganised, but kind of all over the place and I don't have a huge amount of control over where I am. So Michelle has been giving me some grief and I've been giving myself grief about everyone having to work around me. So I said, right, I will actually pull out of this shoot with my friends, other friends. And then I just thought, well, you suggested Wi-Fi at the hotel. I called the hotel and they said, we've got really good Wi-Fi. We're in the sticks, but we got really good Wi-Fi. And I got there, opened my laptop, ready to record a podcast remotely with you. And the Wi-Fi was crap. It was absolutely rubbish.
Rubbish, wasn't it?
And you can't buy better Wi-Fi. So it's like, right, I am in the middle of nowhere. We are stuck. So anyway, apologies. Not that any of you out there care, but... it's just pretty annoying for everyone else. Sorry about that.
But, you know, you can listen to it on a Friday now.
Way better.
Or a weekend.
Way better.
Whatever you want.
Way better. So what have you... tell me what you've been up to, Tom.
Well, where did we do our last podcast? Well, that was before we went to escape rooms on our Christmas drink. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Which was great fun. And Samba Sushi is really good as well. So thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you, Mathel. But the... escape rooms is really good. Tell people what it is, because I don't think people would know.
Okay, it is in London. It's by King's Cross. And you're basically, you go into one room and there's loads of different things on the walls and you have to find keys which open locks which move you on to the next lock, and eventually when you've opened all the locks
there are codes and
all the passages, then you move on to the next room. And there was two rooms. We did the hardest level there is possible to mankind, like only NASA students, Mensa students actually finish
23% success rate in this room.
But we finished both rooms and got a certificate, put it on the wall. Yeah. But it was great fun. It was really good fun. Lateral thinking.
Yeah. That's...
And it was me, you, Wayne Barnes, Nolly, and Michelle.
Mitch. Yeah.
And we did it with about 2 minutes to spare.
Yeah, that's like in the movies, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Die Hard, Bomb Disposal or something. But yeah, it was good that. And then Sushi Samba was a nice grub, wasn't it?
Really nice.
And some bloody beers, because you know what we like.
So did that. I went up to Leeds then on Friday to speak at a Wooden Spoon annual dinner.
Did you?
Yeah. Long way on the train. Long way. It's like 4 hours on the train. But I have just got into Line of Duty.
How good?
Oh, my days.
OMD, how good
is
it?
Well, a lot of people have talked about it, but there's been four series, and I just thought, oh, you know, I'm too far behind now. I'm too late to this party. But I just thought, you know, swallow your pride, Tom, and watch it. And I did.
Woman up.
And I watched the whole series.
Yep.
And I'm just hooked. I've got one more series to go now. I've done series three.
You're James hooked already. You've done series three already?
Done series three already. Mate. So don't want to spoil it for you, but basically Dot is no more.
Gotcha.
So, and I got one more series to go, so I love that. Went up there. Ben Toss was there. He's one of the...
John Bentley, that is, by the way.
Yeah, he's one of the... I don't know. He's on the committee of the Wooden Spoon. Basically, does a lot of work for him.
Yep.
Roger Dakin was there. Very good. There was a comedian as well. Nice bit of lunch.
How funny is Roger Dakin? He is massively inappropriate, but he's so old.
Hugely.
That it's all right.
Yeah, exactly.
He does a million gags, and almost all of them you've heard before, but it doesn't matter because...
It's the delivery.
It's the delivery, and you want him to tell his old gags because they're so funny, and he's a really old man, and he does this one gag. I won't tell all of his gags because they're his, but he says, I was dancing with a woman the same age as me. She's 83 on a dance floor in Eastbourne, dancing at a black tie ball a couple of weeks ago. I said to her, act your age. She started touching my bum. I said, act your age. So she died. He delivers it better than that.
A couple of podcast listeners there. Jimmy and Middy from Alnick. I'm not sure. Alnick. They were a little bit drunk.
Were they?
Yeah.
Let themselves down, did they?
Yeah, but it was good. Ali Hogg was there as well.
He's nice,
now
nice
working
man.
At Barclays Bank. Yeah, lovely bloke. Lovely bloke.
Hoggy.
And Peter Beardsley was there in the back.
Oh.
But actually wasn't.
He's the guy.
It wasn't Peter Beardsley.
Just a bloke.
It was a woman, which I mistake for Peter Beardsley.
So. Oh, Christ.
Sorry, love.
Christ. That is... I retweeted something earlier. Did you watch it? It's so funny. It's this guy. It's a newsreader handing over to his anchor who's like reporting from a race course or something. And it's like, ah, Martin,
yes.
You've been joined by a beautiful woman. So it's a man, actually, Derek.
Accidental Partridge retweeted it.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been on Accidental Partridge.
Are they Accidental Partridge done me, or did you do it?
No, I added you. I just included Accidental Partridge, but it's a Twitter...
A Twitter bot or something.
Yeah, and it's just anyone who does anything similar to Alan Partridge. So that was you. So when the camera's panning down and you're on the Saturday show... BT Sport is panning down, you see the camera, and all of a sudden you just do a little smug lean back and fold your arms and go,
When I first saw it, I was like, I don't get it. And then as soon as you told me, I was like, you're dead right.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I've watched it about 20 times, and every single time it makes me laugh.
But I want accidental Partridge to pick up on it.
And you close your eyes as well for a long period when you do it. You're like,
aren't I great?
Doing the actions.
Ain't life great? I want them to retweet it. I want them to acknowledge that it's Partridge.
Yes, I'd love that as well.
You're so right. You're so right.
I've got an Alan Partridge Christmas jumper as well.
Does it say Top Notch Banter on it?
No, it just says Aha.
Ah, okay.
So this is Friday, okay? So come back Friday. My wife, sorry for my listeners.
Are you married?
Married? Yeah. She's been for a massage.
Hang on a minute. Is that a euphemism?
No. Listen. She's been for a massage. I've done acupuncture on her back because her back's quite sore at the moment. Okay. She rings me on the way back.
She's got to carry those big old kids around.
She rings me on the way back, turn your phone off, and she's struggling to breathe. She's having a lot of difficulty. It's really, really sore. Anyway, she gets home. The pain has increased. So her friend Claire takes her to hospital, to A&E. This isn't a joke now. Going to A&E. They're not sure what's the matter with her. They do an x-ray. The acupuncturist has pierced her lung with a needle.
Are you taking the absolute piss?
No. So I get back. Luckily, I didn't really drink. When I say didn't really drink, I didn't drink. Got the train back to Cardiff. Drove to the hospital then. Stayed with her. Was there till about 2 o'clock in the morning. She had to stay overnight because they wanted to check.
Because she had a pierced lung.
Because they wanted to check with a specialist in the morning that she could go home. I mean, it was only a real small piercing. So it wasn't like a knife or a bullet, but enough that air was coming out. And they just wanted to check with a respiratory doctor, a specialist in the morning that was coming around about 5 o'clock. I had to do Channel 4 rugby the next day. Jim Hamilton had pulled out. They jokingly said, don't you pull out as well, not knowing the situation.
Why did Jim pull out?
His mother was having an operation.
Oh, poor lady. Okay.
Yeah. So I ended up going home. Anyway, just carnage, basically. So she went in the next day as well, just to, you know, it was still hurt, and she still had a popping noise coming from her chest.
Oh, my God.
But it will heal naturally in a week or two. So seeing us. But unreal. Isn't it?
So hang on.
The needle went that far in her back that pierced off her lung.
Has the acupuncturist been told about this?
Yes.
Has she got a refund? / is he or she in prison?
So, yeah. So I've taken legal advice on this, and I rang a solicitor's, and it's called Murphy's. And I ring up and I say, hi, is Mr. Murphy there? And the guy on the phone says, no, Mr. Murphy, he's on vacation at the moment. I said, okay, is Mr. Murphy there?
American firm, is it?
And he said, no, Mr. Murphy, he's on his lunch break at the moment. I said, okay, is Mr. Murphy there? And I said, no, Mr. Murphy, he doesn't work on Saturdays. I went, okay, is Mr. Murphy there? He went, speaking.
God.
But the pierced lung is true.
So, well, what's going to happen with acupuncture?
Well, we're not sure. You know, we're not sure. But
are you going to sue? I mean, you shouldn't say this on the pod. You can get a couple of quid out of it, our lad.
Her name's Shelley, my wife. Not Sue. But yeah, so she's seen a specialist on Friday. We'll make sure that she's okay first. But anyway, yeah, so always a drama.
Blimey. Speaking of specialists, is she all right now? I mean, is she in good spirits? Is she feeling okay?
Yeah, she is. She is.
Speaking of, I saw my dad the other day, who is a...
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about that rash.
Psychologist.
How is that rash?
It's inflamed, plentiful. But it's. He was telling me about, you know, obviously he would never tell me about cases and stuff, but he says he's seen a number over the years of... So certain specialists end up with certain... It can affect their... They basically spend so long looking at certain body parts that it can really affect their personal lives in different ways. So he said he's seen a good number of gynecologists, male and female, over the years, and it's completely ruined their sex life, their approach to everything, because they can't view that area as an erogenous zone.
I'll take that off my list of dream jobs then.
said to my dad, look, mate, I'm no gynecologist, but I'll have a fucking good look for you. I'll tell you what, I know when I see one.
So I worked for Channel 4 then on Saturday. Blue Saracens at the Arms Park. Did the big tackle in the morning. Big Billy Vinopola was on the show.
He's a good fella, eh?
He's a brilliant bloke. The most honest bloke I've ever met.
What, me?
The most honest bloke I've ever met.
Is that true?
But I've not met Jesus.
Is that true?
Yes, I think so.
Good honesty.
But very good. We had a very deep, and you know what I'm like. I get real deep sometimes, don't I? Real serious me.
You never have.
Real good chat on mental health and issues in sport. And part of why we've set up the former Cardiff and Cardiff Blues Players Association, you know, to help with transition from finishing rugby into the workplace and various other reasons, and just an avenue to talk. So that was really good. Pretty decent game.
And because you organise a few golf days with it.
You know that.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
Tuesday then, this week, had a Pro 14 Premier Sport East versus West battle.
I saw you necking pints, you lad.
Question of sport. So, yeah. I mean, there was, on the east side was, Nugget was captain. There was a bit of a discussion over Sam or Nugget being captain, but it has to be Nugget.
Sam Warburton.
Yeah. Nugget's far older. And I always think,
you can't captain Nugget.
Exactly. In these situations, age prevails. So Nugget was our captain. It was Sam. It was me. There was Seb Davis, back row, second row for Blues, really athletic. Hugh Taylor from the Dragons. And then on the west side, Shane captain. Sean Holly was there. Rupert Moon, Rhys Priestland, Nicky Smith. And Ross Harris was Sue Barker.
Harry's.
No.
No, he doesn't like it. Just say it.
Yeah, Ross Harry's was Sue Barker.
Ross Harry's.
Mm.
Was he Sue?
Nugget said to him, God, Sue Barker's job safe, isn't it? I went, yeah, guys, we actually tried to book Sue Barker, but they gave us Chew Barker instead. And then he tried to say something. I was like, so he'd gone. But it ended up being a draw.
Oh, no. What's the point? You stayed at home.
And we were trying to work out who was going to win. And there had to be a winner. So they come up with the idea of having a boat race because we're lads. Rugby.
Cool.
So,
blooming lads on the lash, was
2v2.
It?
2v2. Nugget and me versus Shane. And they called a super fan from the Scarlets up. A female super fan from the Scarlets up. And that was it. Ready, steady, go.
Did it? Who was rubbish at necking pints?
Nug went right-handed to start with.
Oh,
that's an
no.
automatic buffalo. And I did pick up on it, but, you know, it's the moment was gone. Shane took an early lead.
Did he?
But with more spillage. So,
he's a tipper. He's always been a tipper.
And then the lady had probably a good 1.5, 2 seconds on me, and it wasn't enough time.
To make up?
Yeah, and they won.
So she had a head start on you.
High fives.
And she did a good job.
High fives all around. She did a very good job.
I haven't seen that many women neck pints.
No.
I saw Simon Brotherston, the Scotland hooker. His sister once joined in our drinking game on Danny Grucock's stag do in a pub in a village somewhere in Scotland. She introduced herself as Simon Brotherston's sister. And I was like, look, if you're going to sit with us, you're going to play the game, all right? We're playing black-white.
Oh,
you know, black-white.
Black, yeah.
Absolute stitch-up. Black-white, white, wee!
Just make
it
up.
She did 2 pints and just kept going. She was like, I'll drink you lot. And she was an absolute machine, but she wasn't a really unhealthy-looking alcoholic with a beer belly. She was like really active, fit-looking woman, and she just was chopping pints. It was like...
Jim Hamilton's good at chopping pints.
Yeah.
And so is Rob Evans' brother, but I don't know his name. Because he beat him at one of their events they did in Walkabout Bar in Cardiff. Jim Hamilton, Andy Goode, and Andy Rowe on my patch in Cardiff in Walkabout Bar. I am fuming. I'm fuming.
Fuming. You'd do well to beat Andy Beattie the Beast, chopping a pint.
Really?
Sometimes when he gets it right, he couldn't chuck it on the floor any quicker.
That's good. That is
yeah.
so good.
He sucks it down, mate. He doesn't pour it in. He sucks it down.
We had a lot of Sunset and Vine staff were there. Kareth was there.
Yeah.
Griff was there. A couple of others. Gethin was there.
Oh, lovely.
And then a couple of the Irish guys from Premier Sport.
Colm
Stafford. Shane.
You don't need to name them all.
No. I mean, that's all. That is it. That's all I know.
Okay.
And then yesterday, it was Gennaro Christmas party.
Oh, is that where you're looking a bit ropey?
No, I always look like this.
Oh,
go-karting, mate. Went go-karting, Newport Road.
It was 2018, mate.
Team Sports. It was good.
Was it?
Guess where I finished?
First.
No, second.
That's good. If someone as heavy as you, that is good.
That is my point, okay? Like, Bub struggled to get any momentum.
Of course he did.
Good going downhill.
Yeah.
Not so good at the pickup.
Correct.
But Gary Board won. Boardy won. Nothing to him.
Exactly.
Nothing to him. But, I mean,
if you have a squirrel's pocket.
If you have a look, you know, my best lap time was 37.93. Bordy's was 37.65. I'm just reading these off a chart I took a picture of yesterday.
He actually is. but that's good for someone heavy, because they should weight the go-karts, because actually you cannot win if you're heavy.
But I got a little trophy. And then we went to TGI Fridays.
I don't want to be too aggressive, but I hate TGI Fridays.
I'm...
Okay.
Similar to that opinion of you.
It's such grim crap fella, food.
But we had a set menu, a set Christmas menu, and I actually quite enjoyed it.
Okay.
I had a Christmas dinner Sunday to start. Wasn't sure how that was going to come out, but basically in a ice cream sundae glass, you had different levels of Christmas dinner.
Right.
It was actually quite tasty if you sort of close your eyes and forgot about it.
It's more like
being
there and everything was just deep fried in low rent. And I was like, oh God, this is... I don't mind a cheap, dirty feed.
And I had a burger.
Like, this is grim.
And I had a burger.
Show me a picture of it now.
No, that's just me on the podium.
You got your own racing suit?
Wow.
Oh, they gave them out, did they?
No, I bought it.
Yeah. It's an investment though, that, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's it, boy.
You're hoping to grow into that.
What have you been up to?
Oh, not a lot.
I mean, this is going to be interesting.
Not a lot. It's interesting because...
Because what?
No, you just hate me saying that.
I don't.
Went to the same party as you, didn't I? Essentially, is what I mean.
Yeah.
Not essentially. It's not essentially with anymore, is she? MLB management.
I thought you were just saying essentially.
I was, yeah. The same party. Then the next night, I had a quilter, you know, quilter who sponsored the internationals.
Yes.
We had a rap party, not freestyle battle, not a freestyle rap battle.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just... Shanks is showing me the accidental partridge. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's, I mean, it's, you're definitely right.
Yeah, so.
it's so bad.
It's so partridge.
It's so smug. I'm sorry. So the rap party and Nolly was there and Oog was there and, you know, all the guys from Quilter were there and essentially were there. CSM were there and including... Michelle Andrews, who's the big boss lady, but she's a legend. Mike Mannering, who's top bloke, and I think he listens to this pod with his son, by the way. And
how old's his son?
He's secretly 44. Wow. No, I think his son is young, but it's the little daddy and son thing. So hi, Mike, if you're listening. But we used to use the occasional rude word, and now we don't. And he's a bit disappointed that we don't because it was the only time his son was allowed to listen to naughty stuff, and it was a little treat. So. Willies and boobies, there you go. So I had a nice time. Damien Hopley was there as well. Lots of nice people there. So that was nice. And I had a few days off then, Tommy, so I'm doing school runs and I'm picking the kids up from ceramics class and swimming and taking them to all that sort of stuff, judo and...
Ceramics class?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
All right.
What were you doing today? And she's like, ceramics. What was it like? Good. What did you make? Can't remember. Cool. See you tomorrow. Here's an iPad. See you tomorrow.
Is your daughter Bianca off EastEnders?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
And then I did an MBN event in London, which was... They just do really good events, so it's really cool to be
able
to host them.
They do good events.
They do really do good events. And so we had a couple of guests. We had Jimmy Bullard.
Brilliant.
Funny man, as you can imagine. And we had Ricky Hatton. And... How cool is it that a Boggo ex-rugby player gets to sit with Ricky Hatton for half an hour and ask him whatever he wants? It's just wicked.
The hitman.
And as soon as he got up there, I said, Ricky, this is true as well. I said, I've got three friends who've got Staffordshire Bull Terriers called Ricky Hatton. Does that make you feel proud or what? And he goes, and everyone sort of laughed. And I was like, it's actually true. And he was like, tell you what, take the piss out of me again. It's going to be the shortest fucking Q&A you've ever done, pal. And everyone loved it, you know. And I was like, right, do you reckon if I went psycho, absolutely psycho, because I'm bigger than you, a lot bigger than him, and I bet I'm stronger on the weights and whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, do you reckon if I went absolutely psycho, I could beat you in a fight? No. Does anyone ever start fights with you in pubs? These are all questions like you want to ask.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, quite recognisable. And they know that, you know, it wouldn't last long, you know. Is there a difference between a big R bloke in a pub and someone like you? And he's like, yeah. Yeah, big, big, big difference. Yeah. So it's like, it was, we then asked him some proper questions.
Yeah.
Whatever. And
did you back off a bit then?
No, I throttled the bastard.
Do you like get out of his personal space?
I did move my chair away a little bit, yeah.
Which, for those that don't know, is an arm length away. If you get inside that arm length, a bit like Alex Popham does now and again.
Does he?
It's uncomfortable.
But I've also got really short arms, but they're longer than Ricky Hatton's. So we're both T-Rexes.
But Jimmy Bullard, I love his podcast, The Magic Sponge. He's not always on it every week because he's off playing golf or fishing. But he does it with Rob Beckett and I can't remember who else. But it's very good.
And I spoke to him about that. And I just said the one they were talking about, Postman Pat, calling
Fabio Capello.
And he told us all about it. And he's just, it's so funny, man. It's so funny. And afterwards, you went out.
All right, Postman Pat, how's your cat?
Like, you come out of the event, and you normally just get a taxi home or whatever you got to do. And all the punters will drift into the pub next door. And Jimmy Bullard walks past the pub. Everyone's walking past the pub. Jimmy Bullard walks past. They're like, Jimmy, come for a pint, Jimmy. And he's with his agent or a couple of mates or whatever. And he's like, come on, lads, have a quick pint. And he walks in. I'll go on, have a pint. And he's like, I'll have another pint. And he's just properly holding court. This bloke walks over with really tight curly hair. He goes, hang on a minute, it's Dave Gower. He's like, waiting. No. You know, it's just like, and he's just flat out with people he doesn't know.
Ripping into him.
Quality bloke, ripping into them. Just really good fun. And
I'm like that.
He was just, you know, he and I had never met, and he was just absolutely lovely. So what a lovely man.
You bonded.
Yeah, I just thought he was lovely.
Oh, I went to a panto. I forgot.
Oh. No,
on
you didn't.
On Sunday.
Oh, no,
you didn't. Yeah.
Behind you at the school. Anyway, was it good?
Yeah, Wise Productions, the company. It was at the Village Hotel in Cardiff on Sunday. It was good.
Sounds a bit Phoenix Club to me.
Very much so, okay. But very funny.
Was it in the Pennine Suite?
A lot in there for adults as well.
A bit of blue foot dads.
It was Cinderella, okay, and then, you know, Buttons there, and you know, there was little things in there, like Buttons had a sack that when they have presents in it, but there's no presents. Didn't know where the presents are, and he's emptied his sack today already.
Yeah,
you know how it is. But very funny. He's obviously a Welsh company. Do it very Welsh, but brilliant.
Any fighting? Any scraps or anything?
Play fighting.
Any stabbings at the event? I mean,
no.
Oh, that's good.
There was a fairy godfather, and every time he came out, he would. He's in angel wings and lycra. He'd throw a bit of dust in the air and go poof.
You can't do that anymore. There was no fighting in the crowd, though, I mean.
No.
That's good. Because I think it was in Wales. Was it in Wales? Yeah, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
Back to you. Or back to you. Okay, so yeah, I did that. And then that night I went out for dinner. Went to Goodman's in Mayfair, which is just, it's like, I know it's not like Hawksmoor, they're very different places, but it's a mega steak and red wine sort of joint for people that want gout as quickly as possible. It's the place to be. So I went there with Kirsten Kilby, who is the marketing director at Armit Wines, used to be at Berry Brothers and Rudd and Tag Heuer, but she's been mates for a few years, and Tom Manger, who is the marketing boss man at Amiga Watches. No, she hasn't given me any wine. No, he hasn't given me a watch. No, I haven't given them any rugby tickets.
Not yet.
No, we've known each other for years.
We're actually
friends, and it would almost be uncomfortable. Although, Tom, if you're listening, I've just given my watch to a charity because I'm a great guy, and I'm now, I can't tell the time.
I don't know you, Tom, but I'll have a watch if there's one going, mate.
No, you don't say it like that.
No, you do.
There's not one going, is there?
Well, I was joking. Right. I don't even want to watch.
All right. I've actually been thinking about putting sort of what you might call nicer sort of swanky watches away and getting an Apple Watch recently.
You've changed.
I know. I quite like gadgets, though. And it's also...
But you have to charge it. That's my only...
I know. Yeah, you're right.
My only bugbear is that... I mean, you charge your phone every night as well, which is fine, but then they weren't waterproof, and I wear my watch everywhere.
Yeah,
so I wear it in the shower, because I want to time myself in the shower.
Time? What are you timing in the shower?
Just how long it takes.
Gotcha.
Do my hair.
Gotcha.
And I just forget to take it off, so I just keep it on.
Yeah, same.
But I think the new ones are, but
they are.
I just can't be bothered to take that off and then put that on charge as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of that. I wonder how long before there's Wi-Fi charging. Don't know whether it will charge over Wi-Fi or something, but anyway, not yet. So maybe that's the reason I won't get one.
Okay.
But also because I love watches, but there are occasions when you turn up in this big, you've got this big sort of banging watch on, and you feel like a bit of a bell end, is the truth. And I've never really thought about it like
no,
that.
No, I swear, Dave.
Bell. You feel like a bit of a muppet. So anyway, I might do that. Yeah, as you said, I was studio guest BT Sport on Saturday. Toulouse Wasps and Glasgow against Lyon, but when I partridged it, which was nice. And I actually went for a walk on Sunday morning, Tommy, at the Bath Racecourse with James and Anna Mansfield, who James Mansfield is the boss of Field and Flower Meats. I like meats.
Yes.
So I went for a dog walk, and it was really nice. It's the longest walk my big dog's had in a while because he's an old man now.
I've actually ordered a rolled turkey breast.
Have you?
With stuffing off Field and Flower.
Have you?
Yes, I have. You Christmas. Will. It's being delivered on the 23rd.
Dare I say, so have I.
All right. Still my buzz.
I know, but I mean, it's odd that we choose the same thing, like you copied my car. But, yeah, he's a very nice man. He probably listens to this, so and he's a weird guy.
Really impressed with their website, though.
It's a good website. I mean, he's really weird, but otherwise it's a nice company.
And I'm not plugging them one bit. I've just gone on there, I've ordered it, paid for it, and I was just impressed. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, you are. And you didn't come to me and you didn't ask for any deals. You just went and bought it, which is good of you. But I plugged them because I'm a meat addict. And
Well done. That's the first step.
I know. But also, I've always got my meat from a butcher's and I now do not ever, ever go to the butcher's. I get everything from them.
Because they're brilliant. Breakfast. Why do you have like pork belly for lunch on like a Tuesday?
That's the whole point. It's like, that's like...
Shouldn't that be... All right, go.
Okay.
That's a two-part question.
Everyday luxury. So it's like, I've got a really nice pair of shoes, which I have. So I've got a really nice pair of shoes. Will I only wear them on special occasions and enjoy them 3 times a year? Or will I wear them whenever I want and enjoy them? Because I'll enjoy things when I want. So I'm not having champagne for breakfast. But at the same time, you've got a really nice car. How come you drive it all the time? It's the same thing.
Well, no, I was only going to say, like, why don't you have it for dinner instead of lunch? That's all
I was out that night.
All right.
So it's like, if I've got a nice piece of meat and it... So,
someone mentioned it to you before. No. You seem a bit uptight about it.
No, I'm not uptight about it.
I'm a bit scared now. I was only mentioning, why didn't you have it for dinner?
But it's like the other day, I woke up and I had some, you know, liver and bacon and onions for breakfast. Because it's like, I've got a bit of time. I like liver and bacon and onions. And I've got all this nice stuff in my fridge. So yeah. I'm just going to eat it.
No, fine.
All right.
Yeah, great. I've got my head off. What else have you been up to, boy?
Monday, Tuesday, as we said, I went shooting and it was in mid-Wales. Yeah. And the first day was just magnificent. The truth is, I'm not much of a shooting enthusiast. I'm getting my shotgun license with EJ Churchill, but that's just in case anybody robs my house, all right?
I'm not a shooting enthusiast, but I've now got my shotgun license.
No, I'm going to get a license, but I really like going shooting a few times a year because of the social. And I love being outside.
Yeah, I get that.
Dress up like knobs and you walk around.
Yeah, but you don't have to buy any clothes, do you? Got them all.
No, I bought everything I wore.
No, but I mean you already had them in your wardrobe.
Collection. Yeah, because I dress like a farmer or Ellis Genge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, depending where I'm going, but...
Musto jacket.
Yes. So, anyway, you get to walk around just the most beautiful place ever and... You get slow gin and snacks and champagne and slow gin at 9:30 in the morning, you know. And
what is slow gin, mate?
Slow gin is, it's gin with, and it's had sloes in it, hasn't it? Which are little...
Poppers.
No. Amyl nitrate. No, they're little animals, aren't they? How weird is that? I've just got a text from James Mansfield as we're talking. I won't read it because it's private. But that's Field and Flower. James, the weird guy I told you about. Odd guy, yeah? Oh my God, why is he sending me naked pictures? It's so awkward. Meeting two veg, lol. This is Christmas card.
Make a picture of a cow.
So strange. So anyway, shooting's really nice. And the Tuesday was the wettest I've ever been. And I'll just say this, right? I have a couple of coats which I really like. I have a couple of barber coats that I really like. A couple of Musto coats that I really like. Yeah. The Musto coat, you take that off and it's been pissing with rain. You are as dry as a bone. You're dry as a bone. Took off my wax barber and holy moly, otter's pocket.
Really?
Yes. So I thought
the other way around, wouldn't you?
Well, I came back in the hotel and I said, barbers ain't all that, mate. That are not all that. And then Danny Grucott was there and his brother Ben was there and Ben made the point to me, yeah, it's not actually a waterproof jacket. They never said it was. Okay. If you want to buy a waterproof jacket, get one that says it's waterproof. And I was absolutely drenched. So that was nice. And then yesterday I went to London with Matt Powell, ex Worcester Warriors, 2004-05, Darry Morris Dream Team, Sky Sports Team of the Year at Scrum Half.
Freddy Krueger.
And we went for a meeting with someone. And I can tell you who it is if you want. It was the marketing lady from a brand, okay? And we might do some stuff together. We might not. We don't know yet. But we're friends. We met her at a lunch recently.
Okay, cool.
We might do some stuff. Okay.
Leave it open. teasing us a bit there.
Okay, but you know, I just want to say thank you to Patek Philippe for a lovely lunch.
Was it?
No, was it, Frigg?
Talk to me, Dave. What game did you cover at the weekend? Or did you cover a few?
Well, that's a good question, that, Tom. And if you want the answer, I'll give it to you. Toulouse against Wasps.
Yes.
Interesting. And Glasgow against Lyon. Interesting, Tom. Two interesting games.
Toulouse-Wasps was... The pitch didn't look great at all, but it was quite a high-scoring game, to be fair.
Yeah, actually, it was a reasonably skillful encounter. There weren't a huge amount of handling errors, and there was some actually ruddy good rugby played.
Yeah,
actually,
there was.
I thought Toulouse looked great, and I must say, as a Toulouse fan, I love them. Yeah, going sort of they're the business again now. They look great.
I love watching Huger when he's in the mood for it.
Yeah,
he looks like he should be in a film, like some sort of baddie in a film, like in Indiana
like
Jones.
Like a Bond
film.
Villain, isn't he? Or
yeah, or Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
he scored a nice try. He also set up a lovely try for DuPont. Mm. Little switch.
What a game he had, DuPont. Well,
yeah, I know.
Brilliant little player. And he's been injured for a while and he's back and he's so good.
Yeah, Toulouse did look really good. And they have, I suppose, no, I'm not trying to be offensive to them, but they've gone missing, I reckon, over the last few years in the Heineken Cup.
They've been rubbish.
15, 20 years ago, they were the Giants, weren't they?
Yeah, they've been rubbish.
But also Wasps, although they lost by nearly 20 points, 17 points, I think, 15 points. There was a lovely try by LaRue. Just shows you the pace Elliot Daly has. Just gets on the outside, can't drift across enough, and it is pure pace. The guy is pulling away from the defensive chasers.
Yeah,
lovely. 2-on-1 with a 15.
He's off to Sarries, apparently.
Really?
Elliot Daly signing for Sarries.
Did hear that.
So this big that we're not, we don't really like gossip on here, but a lot of people have already said it. Yeah. So I feel it's okay to say. You think if they're losing Elliot Daly, lose Nathan Hughes to Bristol.
Yes.
They've lost Cipriani, who's basically so far proven irreplaceable.
Well, Jimmy Gopper is back running now, which is...
Jimmy Gopper's brilliant and a great player, but Danny Cipriani is something different.
Do you see Colby jumping over a ruck and then sidestepping?
Yeah.
Mate.
Sidestep Ross Neal, didn't he? See Ross Neal's tweet?
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
Very good.
Brilliant. Very, very good. And his fear, there's nothing you can do about that. You can't do anything about someone like that. You just got to hope they run into you.
So, you know, Toulouse, pretty sure they're going to qualify now, top of their group. But I watched Leinster Bath and...
Yes, I watched that.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with losing to Leinster heavily because a lot of teams have done that.
Done that myself, Tom.
Throughout this year, throughout the last 10 years. But... I mean, I don't want to sound too bad here, but...
Say it.
To me, the Bath players, they just didn't look fit. I don't know whether they had a hard training week. I don't know whether it was an accumulation of games, but they just looked tired. And even at 60 minutes, you know, that's an hour of play. You've still got another 20 to go. It's not like you've got 5 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go. There's still 20 minutes left. And I always think you can tell by... how quickly they pop off the ground when they make tackles, how quickly they cover across. They did not look fit. And I don't know whether that's just because the game was high-paced or I couldn't put my finger on it, but they looked tired and they looked tired early.
Yeah, I didn't so much notice that, but I did notice that they looked... they obviously looked outclassed and... I remember playing against Leinster myself years ago over there in the Aviva and getting walloped. And I remember thinking, we're just as strong as they are. They're not pushing us around. They're not smashing us in the tackle. They just know where they're going way better than we do. And it's easy to say, well, they've got better players. But their players are better because they are made better. So it's not that they're not working harder day to day, I'm convinced. We're working our asses off.
Okay, then.
I think Bath looked like a reasonably punchy thing to say. Bath looked like a really poorly coached team.
But how then, you know, there's no
direction.
You can't coach a team, you know, when there's a penalty to get back in position and Lowe just taps and goes over far too quickly.
Oh yeah, but what you can coach is, what you can reinforce every day is a mindset that you don't do that. And if that's not, it's easy to say, well, you shouldn't have to. But the reality is, all pros are very, very competitive. That's why they're there. But there are people who have an edge. And the edge comes, I think, through coaching.
They look like a team that has no confidence. I'm sorry to say it.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have any confidence because I've played in crap Bath teams myself and crap. You've played in crap Blues teams and whatever. If you're not very good for an extended period of time, then how can you be confident? You can't be.
No, you can't. I know. You know, it's, you only get confidence from winning, and
yeah, and that comes from doing basic stuff really well. And every time,
but you can still get back in position, and you can still have the hunger in there and the drive in there. And I don't know why. It just didn't look like it was there. But they were up against one of the best teams in Europe, and you saw that. You saw. I thought Lowe was brilliant throughout. Sexton, his crossfield kick for the Burn try was just absolutely spot on. Lowe then creates another try for Gibson Park. Conan was carried incredibly well.
Jeez, he played
went over the, like went through Jamie Roberts for the first try. They've got strength everywhere. We've talked about them loads before.
But these players,
Lachlan,
you get players like Gary Ringrose who arrive from school ready to go and tear up at whatever level, and they come around. Every team has those. Every team.
Mm.
But it's what you do with them. It's how you develop them, how you make them better physically, and how you make them better players. And that will, I think, be the reason Leinster and Saracens, and Exeter to a point, but Leinster and Saracens are pulling away from the rest because they properly develop players. And all coaches think they develop players. And, of course, all of them do to a certain extent, but they're not doing it as well as those clubs. And...
But it's not. I don't think it's strength development or speed development. It's
rugby development.
Yeah, it's game management development.
Yeah,
it's skills development,
technical coaching, and tactical coaching, and it's proper learnings. And you know, when I watched that game, I thought this is a team that absolutely knows what to do all the time, even when things aren't going well. They make mistakes. They absolutely know what to do, and they execute it repeatedly, really, really well. I thought they just looked so well prepared. And it's like, yeah, they've got loads of top internationals. Yeah, yeah. But those guys are top internationals because they've been brilliantly coached for years and they've got the right mindset. But
they don't pay massive bucks either for players to join them. There's far bigger teams that will pay over the odds for players. But players want to go there because they want to win trophies. And they know if they go to Leinster, they'll be in a great environment and they'll be challenging for trophies every single year.
Yeah, and they just look a brilliantly prepared team. And I think when you're that much better, you do look fitter because you're running rings around people. And I think that may be what happened, because I see the Bath boys in town quite a lot and they're looking decent nick to me, I tell you that, boy.
Yeah.
So you see Max Laheath getting showered in the gym, you're like, yeah, okay, he's not skimpy on the S&C.
Gloucester beat Exeter last week away from home. Exeter come, that group is wide open now.
Yeah, Exeter came back. Exeter are back, aren't they?
They are back. You know, they didn't go missing for long. You know, they've lost one game in the Gallagher Premiership. I suppose that form hasn't really translated into Europe at the moment. But I tell you what Gloucester will be unhappy about is that they've obviously gone out to win that game. Right towards the end, they're still in it.
Yeah.
There's a little chip over and Exeter end up scoring. But it's just taken that losing bonus point away from Gloucester, and I think that could massively come back to haunt them. And Woodward looked really good. The Hudson try, some lovely hands, but you know, Don Armand played really well again.
Yeah, he's not good enough though, is he? You can't pick him for England. He's not good enough. It's a joke. I often wonder, like, if he was going to get picked, how well would he actually have to play? But imagine how good
he'd have to kick goals.
Imagine how good he'd actually have to be. I think he needs to change to fly off.
I think he'd have to make a break, you know, either doing like a sneaky pick around the ruck, come to the 15, put the ball behind his back, use a heel flick to chip it over the 15, catch it, go into the post, run back, drop kick it.
You mean Hurricane? Position. That's how John Humphreys used to play touch at the club. He used to do Hurricane. Wait for it, boys. The New Wales coach, John Humphreys.
Very quickly, just got to touch on that. Seeing as you brought it up, I was going to save it for later, but.
So you know them both. I don't know Steve Jones very well, but you rate him very highly as a geezer, don't you?
As a bloke, massively. They don't come much better. Although, if there's one fault with him, well, two, really. One is dress sense.
Oh, no.
Stonewashed jeans, Ben Sherman shoes, Ralph Lauren polo, and a gilet. And not a thin gilet, a big, puffy 20-tog gilet.
I quite like those, but yeah.
He used to love the silver buckled Ben Sherman shoes.
Oh,
front.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm hoping his dress sense has got better.
Well, he'll get all free kit now, won't he?
Yeah, you know, he'd just be wearing tracksuits now.
Just do what Richard Hill does and only wear sponsored clothes.
What?
Tracksuits.
We talked about him loads before. He's a brilliant communicator. He's a brilliant communicator. Playing the game, he was a 10. So, you know, his game management is phenomenal. He knew the right areas to play in. And obviously that is just transferred completely into coaching. And you just, you know, players are going to be good coaches. You can tell, you know, when you're, when you're coming through the ranks with them, that it's just going to come naturally to him. He's, you know, he finished at Wasps. He coached at Wasps. He's gone to Scarlets. Wayne Pivac's been announced coach. Why wouldn't you have your lieutenant there? Your right-hand man, Stephen Jones.
I think
the combination
wingman
of Stephen Jones, John Humphreys, Wayne Pivac will be brilliant for Wales. I think people will really be able to relate to him. The fans, the players, everyone.
And all I
think it's a great signing for him.
And all I will say about John Humphreys is, whether this means carries any weight or not, I don't know. Except you, of all the people I ever played with, he would be the person I would pick to play with again first. Out of every single person.
A lot of people are saying that, you know, the video that you couldn't come up to Scotland with me after interviewing him, and saying, you know, thank you for being a spy in the Welsh camp all this time up in Scotland.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little bit of PR from me and BBC.
No, he sent me a text and said Shanks created me.
Wow.
So he's going to, I think he's going to send you some money, actually.
Ulster put away the Scarlets pretty easily.
They look good, Ulster. Really good. They're backed up.
It was a bit of an underwhelming game, really. Henderson scored a couple of tries. Stockdale again looks just...
Guess what? Stockdale scores tries.
Brilliant.
Stockdale scores tries.
Yeah, he does. But I covered the Blues Saracens game. The Blues got humped the week before.
Yes.
They were leading at half time.
Yeah.
Again, they were leading actually at half time last week. Ray Lilo scored a nice try off set piece off the back of the scrum. They just sort of targeted a little bit. Brad Barrett got a weak outside shoulder, had the power to go through. It's really difficult to defend off the back of scrums like that, especially when you've got a solid platform, especially when the eight picks up and gives a nine a little bit of room to get on the outside of back row.
Yeah.
And it was really well worked try. But Dan Fish as well at 15, you probably wouldn't have heard about him too much.
I have heard of him. I watched him a few times, actually.
He's been injured a while.
Yeah.
Really good player.
Scored a nice try, didn't he?
But gets stood up by Maitland. Should have made that tackle, Maitland, in the first half. And Lewington does so well. It's a bouncing ball. Lewington picks it up on the wing. And wingers have got a tendency, you know, you're trying to get in the game. You don't get too many touches of the ball. When you do get the ball, you want to play yourself into the game. And Lewington could easily have done a weave and run back inside, but he doesn't. He picks it up, stops, passes it to Maitland on the outside.
Yeah.
Really lovely little bit of skill there. But at one stage, the Blues looked like they were going absolutely nowhere, and Gareth Anscombe just puts a little chip over. The chip is perfect because it turns Maitland. Darren Evans has to jump in the air, and that forces Maitland just to back off him.
Yeah.
Because
But you see it, really see it, don't you?
Yeah, it's like a little 2-inch jump off the air, but you can't tackle someone in the air, so Maitland lets him go. But what that does is allows him to get his body through the contact, pass it inside to Dan Fish, scores. What I will say, great to see Josh Navidi back.
Yes, it was.
You know, he's sort of Blues player of the season every year.
Mm.
One of those, just such a great clubman, such a great player, never drops below that sort of 8 out of 10.
Very high quality player.
And showing he can do it for Wales.
Yeah,
Blues look so much better when they've got Halaholo fit and Ray Lilo in the centres.
Mm.
Probably missed Thomas Williams at 9 a little bit. But
I felt like, compared to the week before, it's the midfield that made a big difference to me. Saracens just looked way less like
they did. You know, Jamie George had a really good game.
Yeah, he was class.
Scored a try, which possibly wasn't a try. It didn't really matter because it was such a good driving maul anyway off the line out.
Yeah.
I tell you who looked brilliant was Ben Earl at 8.
Yeah.
And
another one.
And Rhodes at 6.
He's just hard, mate.
I know.
He just hits people so hard. He just collides so hard. Like, I'd have him really, really close to that England team.
And you know, when you watch games, and you just sort of just know Saracens were really always in control.
Yeah.
And, you know, they ended up winning 26-14. It was a much better performance by the Blues, and they'll try and take a bit of confidence now into the derbies. It's not good when you go to an away team and you lose by, and you get 51 points put on you. I don't care what people say, no matter what team you got, that is a confidence damager.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Glasgow, they're doing really well in the Pro 14 at the moment. Beat Lyon, possibly could get a second place in the table behind Saracens.
Again,
Matawalu.
A bit like Leinster, sorry. I watch Glasgow and I think they look, yes, they got some lovely individuals. And when you look at the second Matawalu trial, which we'll talk about in a sec, they just look like a really well-coached team. And it's not all down to the coaches, but good coaches make such a difference. And they just look really, really well-prepared.
I agree with you, mate. Totally. I tell you, it was a bit of a shock. Sort of top table team at the moment that aren't really doing that well in the Pro 14 is Edinburgh. They've gone to Newcastle. They've beaten Newcastle 21-18. Van der Meer on the wing, the South African.
Yeah.
Mate, I've seen him a few times. The guy has got pure pace and he's a brute.
He's a unit as well.
Massive. But, you know, fair play to Edinburgh. Richard Cockrell's got them in a good place at the moment.
Yeah,
they need to get at that table a little bit more in the Pro 14. You know, they've got to make sure they qualify for the main Europe competition next year. But I'm sure that will. And I suppose this is a bit of a... This is the sort of games they need just to try and find a bit of form and take it across. And they've obviously got the derbies coming up now as well. Mata makes a massive difference for them when he plays at 8, gives them huge go forward. Yep. What a player he is. Kinghorn at 15 is decent as well. Hamish Watson at 7. You know, Hamilton, Luke Hamilton, who's at the Blues. He's been to France.
Yeah.
He was at Leicester. You know, he's been doing a good job as well. So that was pretty decent. But, I mean, Leicester... The only good news, I suppose, that's come out at the moment is Jordan Murphy is now head coach.
Confirmed, yeah. I mean, they had to do that, but it was the right decision without question. And Leicester are in a really bad place, but they've got so many good players that you would think when they get it right, they will be able to sustain it. But they are in a place at the moment where they can't find a way to win, and they were well beaten by Racing.
And it's little things. You know, we talked about confidence, didn't we, with Bath earlier. It's like a situation when Tuilagi goes through, and you just think, if that was a team full of confidence, he probably would have just pinned his ears back, gone for the corner.
Mm.
But he doesn't. He ends up trying to hit his winger, who we think is Thompson.
Yeah, you think Sarries will score there?
Yeah.
Sarries would have scored that.
And the try opportunity is gone. So
you watch Finn Russell walking through for... Who scored the try? I've forgotten now. But Finn Russell makes a break.
Vakatawa
try. And
in his own 22,
yeah,
isn't
but the
it?
Break he makes, I think, I could be wrong, it's Pelota now that he steps, but it's a great step, but at the same time, your defence should not be missing those tackles, and there should be someone inside to cover, and there's no one.
Mate, it's a gaping hole.
Yeah, like, no one there.
You give anyone that opportunity, you know, they're just going to step you.
Yep.
Cut back inside, support runners through, him off, love watching him play.
Yeah.
Really good. But...
Racing look great. They look really good for it at the moment, but Leicester are way off. And as a, you know, as a rugby fan, I'm quite looking forward to when they get it back because I've got a Welford Road and I quite like it when it's a brutal place to go. And at the moment, teams are going there and taking liberties. You know
what I will say about George Ford is, mate, he makes some massive covering tackles.
He really does, doesn't he?
He's always chasing back.
Yeah,
he never gives up either. You see so many times that he's chasing back and last ditch tackles just to stop tries or try to stop tries, but he's always thereabouts.
People think you're not a hard man if you're not big and whacking people, but he's a small guy and he's a tough bloke because he's always in it physically.
But you know Leicester will get it right at some stage and it will click I'm just looking at their team now and you're right, there is just
so
quality,
many good players in there,
quality team.
Yeah.
But it's just not clicking at the moment.
They're having a bad time, but Sarries lost, was it 7 on the bounce last season and won it? So, you know.
Yeah, there's plenty.
I don't think Leicester are going to win it, but at the same time, there's plenty of time to, you know, find some form and put a run together.
So it looks like Toulouse and Leinster are going to both qualify from Pool 1. That's going to be a really tough pool, but it looks like Toulouse will probably get the home draw.
Looking forward to Toulouse-Leinster, that'd be a good game.
Munster are going to qualify, you know that. Saracens and Glasgow, possibly both those two teams could.
Yeah.
Qualify. Racing are going to qualify. Maybe Ulster. Depends on, I suppose, how Glasgow do. Edinburgh.
They look set to go through.
They do look set to go through. So, I mean, I would say Pool 2 is quite open with Munster, Castra, Exeter and Gloucester. Not many points separate those at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, Exeter back in it now on 8 points. Only won one game. Drawn one. But on the same points as Gloucester because of the bonus points. So...
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Derbies this weekend, isn't it?
Is it?
Christmas derbies.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. I'm off to Exeter, Sarries.
Oh, really?
Saturday. That'll be a big game. Channel 5, live Game Boy.
Oh, nice.
And Wasquins on Sunday at Rico. But that'll be big. Exeter Sarries will be big, won't it?
I'm doing Ospreys Dragons on the 30th.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. We're going to have a break now, aren't we, for Christmas and New Year?
We are going to have a little break. But before we have a little break, Dave, my old mate, we're going to answer some questions.
All right, Ked.
We've not really done too many questions for a while.
Go on,
we?
Ked.
I'm going to answer as many as we can.
Go on, Ked.
Excuse me. Okay. TWD.
Twid.
Does home advantage really matter?
Seems to, doesn't it?
For example, Exeter and Gloucester bet each other away over the last 2 weeks.
Doesn't guarantee you win, but it does seem to have an advantage. You're much more likely to win at home.
It does have an advantage.
Yeah.
You know that. You know, you're going to your home comforts, your home stadium.
There'll be a lot of different reasons for it, but yes, you are more likely to win at home than you are away. So
you're
familiar
with the surroundings, familiar with the smells.
Breakfasts. Yeah.
Right, there's a lot of people that are replying to tweets. Any podcast you can recommend to us, stuck commuting whilst you guys are enjoying your well-deserved break? The Magic Sponge, get into that. It's very good.
Yeah, like that.
And They Walk Among Us, UK true crime.
Dr. Death was good. We said that one, haven't we? Dr. Death. Teacher's Pet was good.
Who wins the big relegation battle between Wasps and Bath on Sunday?
Lol.
Wasps?
I
go with Wasps.
Yeah. One of them will win it. Predictions. Never really bothered about predictions, really. I think Bath might win that.
Right, that was from... who was that from?
Des Walker, wasn't it?
Yeah, Des Walker.
But it's not a relegation battle, though, is it? I like your chat, though.
Simon Hammerschmidt wants to know...
Oh, God, here we go.
General thoughts on the CVC deal?
Don't know yet, Simon. It's on my... Believe it or not, I've got a load of things lined up on a reading list to read through it a bit more. So before I talk about that, I'll...
He's also asked... if he nominates us for the British Podcast Awards, can he tell his 2.5-minute joke?
No, we'd rather not win it.
No, thanks, mate.
We'd rather lose, to be honest, mate.
I prefer the short one-liners.
Yeah, and they're not very good. It's just they're better than the really long ones that aren't very good.
Which club had the best Christmas players' party? Either you've played out or heard about from other players.
Oh, my God, we did. Our Christmas party got cancelled after the last one we had about 8 years ago. Well, Pete Short was injured, so he organised it. And he's a fruity geezer. So all sorts went on. It was in the top floor of the corporate stand. And everyone's invited, players, staff, partners and that sort of stuff, pets. And before you go in, you have to kneel down in the dead ball area and do a funnel. And the funnel is on the top floor and the tube reaches all the way down to the dead ball area. So you've got like a 40-foot funnel. And it hits, the booze hits you. You don't know what they're putting in at the top. And the booze hits you so hard that it almost knocks your teeth out. Then when you walk in, you've got to do another funnel. All the management there, and boys, I mean, it was carnage. There were three fights. The police came and ended up staying for a drink. There was proper scrapping. It properly went off. Like, there was a big table of pizzas delivered, and the whole table got knocked over because there was a big fight, and everyone just sort of carried on drinking, and it was like a fight over there. And it was just carnage, and there were people... like doing strip teases, really inappropriate, members of staff doing dirty dancing and stuff because they were smashed. Someone, I won't say who, but it was Tom Cheeseman, the centre Welsh guy, was sick in a pint glass and offered it to Steve Meehan, the head coach, and his wife. So, you want a drink, bud? Never played again. And it just went badly wrong. And then the next day they called Pete Short in, the CEOs or whatever, the board called him in and said, we want to know, this is a true story, we want to know what have you got to say about last night, what happened last night? We just assessed the damage, and there's this much damage in the stand, where there's all this damage, because Andy Beattie used to like getting the Christmas tree whenever the party was there and just lobbing it off the top balcony. He always did that as tradition. Remember Karen was like, no beast! The lady at the Karen at the wreck, she's a legend, she's like, no beast, not again! And I all remember, I won't swear, but he was like, "Go off, Karen, it's tradition!" Throws it off the top. It was just carnage. Someone planted the tree in the centre spot of the wreck, and there was a game 3 days later, or wherever it was. So they got Shorty in and said, what have you got to say for yourself about the party of the night? And he was like, well, the phrase, best Christmas party ever, has been bandied around a bit. And no one laughed. They were like, it's disgrace. He's like, yeah, right, we had a good time.
I think I've said this before, but you know where you put golf balls in pints when you go around and someone's holding it, and if you manage to put a golf ball in it, they've got to neck it. And we do that at the Blues at Cardiff. The Dragons players, they would do that with dead mice. So Reese Thomas, pest.
Yeah.
Prop.
He's horrible.
That was former of Scarlets. Yeah, he'd go to the pet shop and buy dead mice. And if a dead mice was in your pint, you'd have to finish it, and then you're in charge of the mouse. The dead mouse.
Oh, Christ.
Good question here from Lewis Willing.
Better be.
Is it hard to balance friendships with people in the game and punditry?
No. Not at all. Don't find it difficult at all.
They're big boys. I mean, let's be fair though, Dave. There are certain ways about getting your point across that doesn't become too aggressive. And there's ways of putting instances where players have either missed a tackle, rather than them hanging them out to dry, you can sort of say so-and-so is disappointed, would be disappointed with himself for that.
Yeah, but equally, if I'm commentating on, let's say I'm commentating on Bath.
Yeah, but you're really biased towards
really
Bath.
Really biased. And, and
you're not.
You know, Nathan Catt, who I would class as a mate, is in a scrum and does really well. I will, being completely honest about it, it will give me pleasure to say that he's done really well, more than it would do to say that someone I've never met has done really well.
Yeah.
So if Ross Harrison at Sale has a great scrum, I will say he's had a great scrum. I'll enjoy saying it. If Nathan Catt does it, I will say it, and I'll probably enjoy it a bit more. That doesn't mean that when he has a crap scrum or misses a tackle, I won't say Nathan Catt has had his head shoved up his backside there, or he's been done, or he shouldn't have missed that. I would happily say that. I don't get any pleasure out of it, but I'm also, I don't, people making mistakes in rugby games doesn't make me angry. Sometimes you listen to sports commentators and it's like they're angry about something. It's like, don't worry about it. That's a missed tackle. That's really poor. That's a poor kick. Fine. And you, if there's a professional rugby player out there who's offended at a co-commentator or a commentator or a pundit saying they've made a mistake when they know they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
And there isn't one. They don't mind. They get it. It's fine.
Does anyone really believe Joe Schmidt is leaving Ireland to spend time with a family? Here's a prediction for November 19, it was an opportunity I couldn't turn down.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's from Lee Blasdale.
Well done, Lee.
And I suppose that's it really, guys.
Well, that'll do, Tommy.
And girls.
See you in 2019.
You lot, right, hey, have a very Merry Christmas. Please drink responsibly. Don't eat too much. Exercise. Go for long walks. Walk the dog. Go to the gym if you can. Look after yourself, okay? Because health is the most important thing.
Second to wealth, okay? See ya.
Bye.